I'm sure every person here, without exception, at some time or another, has read the first psalm. That psalm that says, "Blessed is the man." And you know, as you read through that psalm about the Christian, the first word really characterizes his walk with God and his service for the Lord. For it says there, "Blessed is the man." And the word "blessed" means, "Oh, the blessedness is of," or "Oh, the happiness is of." Now, I know that being blessed and being happy are not always exactly the same. You see people you think are happy, and it's not real happiness. You would not call it blessedness. But as you look at Psalm 1, you see the possibility there of blessedness for God's people. It says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." We walk with the ungodly every day. But it says there, "that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." In other words, your footsteps and mine are not to be directed by the world. And they may have their majority votes on that which is wrong, but that does not mean we go down that way. And when the Lord, in his wisdom, penned the first psalm, he penned a psalm that has been a tremendous blessing to many people, and I trust to you as well. And we have read some verses here this morning that tell us about Asher. Now, everyone here will be aware that when Jacob was giving the blessing upon his sons, it was a very, very important time. And of course, what God had inspired to be written that was going to happen, it did happen. And you can see here what it says about Asher. Now, the name Asher, and why I mentioned Psalm 1 to begin with, the name Asher means happy or blessed. We know that in the Bible, names often mean an awful lot. But as you look at the various tribes, and you look at their experiences in the following years, you realize that truly what God says is going to happen will happen. And whenever you look at Asher here, for instance, at the beginning of verse 24, it says, "And of Asher he said, let Asher be blessed with children." If you wanted your own time to remember those words and turn up Numbers chapter 26, I think it's verse 47. And you'll see that there's a huge increase in that tribe. For there in Numbers 26, there were over 53,000 of them. And no doubt, the vast majority of those additions turned out to be a blessing. And of course, as we look at the tribes, we are looking at that which we believe can be a blessing to us. We're looking God to speak to us as individuals. We're looking God to speak to us as a congregation. We often pray for additions, but we're careful when we do that, because we pray for additions that are sent from God. And it is our heart's desire that additions that would come along to the church would be a blessing to the church. If the church is going to stand, not just this congregation, but the church of Jesus Christ in general, if it is going to stand in these hard times, then there will need to be additions that will stand with us. Additions that will want the blessing of the Lord far more than anything that the world can offer. So often we talk about money. It's good. You can buy lovely houses and lovely cars. And I love both of them, by the way. But you know, houses and cars and money and all the various things that you can buy, they can never compare with the blessing of the Lord. The blessing of the Lord is something which affects us in a way that nothing else can do. And if there are additions, it will be our earnest prayer that we will have the same vision of the lost. If we don't have a burden for souls, we need to get praying right away. We will have the same vision. We will have the same vocation. It is to reach out, just as we have been doing this past 2 weeks. Whether people in the main wish you to come or not, or are glad that you're there, that doesn't come into it one bit. The vocation is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We'll also have the same voice. Oh, we don't agree on everything. We're around long enough to know that. I'm sure if you and I were speaking in various subjects, it wouldn't be too long before we had a different point of view. But you see, when it comes to God's word and to the glorious message of the gospel, we need to be speaking with one voice. And if we are going forward speaking with one voice, with one vocation, that is to reach the lost for Christ, and with one vision, a burden for souls, if you're not burdened, you'll never bother reaching them, then we will need to be endued to stand. Because hell's fiery darts will come your way and mine. And all kinds of discouragements will be heaped upon us. And the devil will do his utmost to, if not stop the work, to thwart the plans of God's people. He will try to shut doors, but we know that if God opens a door, then no man can shut it. And for the remainder of the meeting this morning, and I probably will be brief, I say probably, I don't usually time my sermons at home, but I try through experience to work it out that I'm not going to keep you too long. I want to look with you at the title, Endued to Stand. The first thing I want you to notice is this about Asher. Asher seemed to accept that they were all the same, but different. All the same, but different. There's one of the children's programs that's on in the morning there, and my wee boy, smallest boy, watches it, and one of the ladies, I've heard her saying on a couple of occasions, it's helping us to see that we're all the same, but different. Helping children to realize that they're not all the same. You know what's important for God's people? And look what it says there regarding Asher. It says, and of Asher he said, let Asher be blessed with children, and let him be acceptable to his brethren. You see, brethren and sisters, when you look at these tribes, they were really no different from people today. There were those tribes who seemed to fight the peace out. There were some of them who simply did not warm to each other, perhaps as they should have done. There were those who, if you looked upon them, at times they seemed to think, well, there's none of us the same, so we're all going to be different in as many ways as we can and make sure everybody knows it. Well, that was not the way to go. And you and I who are saved, we are all the same because of grace. We've been brought into the family and fold of God through trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as our own and personal Saviour. We have been accepted by Him. But of course we're vastly different. Vastly different. Sometimes whenever we're in discussion with our friends, and they are friends, we have to just stop talking. I'm speaking about me here. We have to just stop talking, because the next step after that is going from a friendly debate to an argument. Maybe over something that is trifling. But I read there in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 6, to the praise and glory of His grace wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. We need to remember where we come from, and what we were, and what we were deserving of, and then remember what the Lord has done for us. It says in verse 7, in whom we have redemption, it's referring to Jesus Christ. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. You can look at that verse, you can see that there is a tremendous price. That is the price of redemption. Jesus shedding His blood for us. But there is a tremendous pardon. The forgiveness of sins. Sometimes it's not good to dwell on your past sins. But sometimes before I may be harsh on some other believer, it's a very good thing for me to remember what I've been saved from, and to remember what the Lord has done for me and forgiven me, according to the riches of His grace. The point here we're making is that we're all the same but different. Asher, it says there, let him be acceptable unto his brethren. You see, the Lord knew what was in man, and all the possibilities that lay there. that might not have been for the good of the cause. If you turn with me, please, to Ephesians chapter 4, this is not something that just happens. If you look what it says there in chapter 4, it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. See what it said there? Forbearing one another in love, endeavouring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in the one hope of your calling. You will see here, if you take time yourself to look at verse 3, you will see there would be that tolerance, there was teamwork. That's important. We knew all about that over in these past 2 weeks, and I have to say, and I do say this in the right spirit, that I was proud of Akalee. It was Akalee Church that run the mission. I preached the first 3 mission meetings, of course, and if we had to, we'd have preached them all. But there were men willing to lead, and people willing to testify and sing and come and visit and pray, and all the various things. Even some of the congregation preached. And it was a tremendous time of blessing for our own souls. Why? Because there was teamwork. Are we all exactly the same in everything? Of course we're not. But nonetheless, that teamwork was vitally important. The tolerance, the teamwork, and then being tough on self. That's the secret, you see. Look at myself. Have a good long look at my heart before I'm tough on any of my brethren. And then things may be different. And teamwork might work very well together. There's an important verse, and I know that we've looked at it together. I'd like you to turn to it again. It's found in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 16. You'll see here that the Lord is giving hope to the people. He is speaking to them and showing them what he's going to do in verse 11. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. And he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord. You will see here, and all nations shall call you blessed. You see, even the nations are going to know, here are people who are standing, they're blessed of the Lord, they're endued to stand, it seems. But look at verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened. And it says that he heard it. And the book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. We have mentioned several times that thought upon his name means counted the Lord in. That's what it means in the original. It's a word that was used by an accountant. You've got your treasurer here, Alistair Park. He counts in the offering to the book or whatever it is. Well, that's the thought here, counting something in. Here are people and they counted the Lord in initially, at the beginning. And that meant everything. They that feared the Lord, they spake often one to another. Do you remember what Paul said when he was writing to the church of Philippi? That is the epistle of joy, of course. And he was seeking to help them to cultivate that joy and to have even greater joy among themselves and in the Lord. And he says there in chapter 4 and verse 2, I beseech Eutychus and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Now someone has read this verse like this, that I beseech Eutychus and Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. But of course, that should never have been the case. Because the name Eutychus there, it means fragrant. That which is pleasant. And regarding the other person too, it was the apostle's desire that they would be of the same mind in the Lord. Of course, they had their differences. But brethren and sisters, if a church is going to be endued to stand, then though we're all different, we need to remember that we're all in the work together. And we're all the Lord's because of grace. Now unity invariably leads to pleasantness. And could I say that it doesn't just happen? We read about that earlier on there. You have to strive. There has to be that working. There has to be that effort. There has to be that concerted desire, which is followed up by actual action, that even though we're different, we will work together. And indeed, it is a very blessed people that can get on together. An awful thing to be in the midst of a place that's fighting and not speaking to each other and all kinds of things. You see, unity does not mean uniformity. We all have our quirks. As a minister said to me the other day on the phone, he says, we all have our quirks, every one of us. Of course, I'm not going to disagree with that. We all have our quirks, but the first thing you will see here concerning Asher, it says, let him be acceptable to his brethren. They were to understand and work upon the fact that even though they were all the same, they were not that different. But notice something else. This is the second thing here. Notice that Asher was to be very careful regarding their walk. Do you see what it says there? Let him be acceptable to his brethren and let him dip his foot in oil. It's no mistake that the oil is mentioned there regarding Asher. Asher's inheritance was Mount Carmel, famous for olive oil, and the olive berries would be crushed and they would be used as anointing oil. And really, there is a very clear message here for the church today. The message here, it says, let him dip his foot in oil. It's referring to the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Of course, whenever ministers or elders are ordained, there is special prayer offered for them that they will know the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And we need to know that, but so do you. Whatever you're going to do for the Lord. And of course, if there's going to be that unity that marks the people out and they're going to stand, they have to be very careful how they walk, walking with the Lord according to his word. I wonder, would you turn, please, over to the Psalms, Psalm 133. This is, I think, one that I read probably at the very first committee meeting we ever had here in Achillean. In fact, I'm nearly sure I did. It says, behold, that is Psalm 133. The primary association here is to do with the whole nation, of course, but personal application here is spiritual unity in the church. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts and the garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. The thought here is of a great time of refreshing and reviving and a great time of joy together. The secret is being anointed. Being anointed, of course, in the context here, as we said in this, it's how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment. But when you and I think of that precious ointment, we think of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Have you ever wondered why, when you're just going to be, let's say you're doing a job that is 9 to 5, and you're involved in God's work for 3 or 4 hours a week, 2 hours a week, 1 hour a week, why we're exhorted in God's word to be continually filled with the Spirit? For where we're told to be filled with the Spirit, it is in the continuous tense. Have you ever wondered why you need to be filled with the Spirit the rest of the time? Well, the rest of the time is real life. And that is what people see. And that is a reflection upon us. Said from here 100 times. It's not so much what a man is in the pulpit, but what he is out of the pulpit. And so it is with everyone else. And how we need the anointing of the Holy Spirit to help us to walk in a way. We're living where there's sin all around us. And everywhere we go and what we do, we leave marks. I remember Lord Morrow, as he now is. Years ago, when I was a Sunday school teacher, I remember him saying to us that we're all very conscious that we're putting down markers for the children. Markers for good or markers for bad. And certainly we would want to put down markers for good. And I wonder if you ever thought, as you looked at this passage here, where it speaks about Asher, have you ever thought of a long walk, and how the oil here would be of tremendous help? The oil to unite the feet. See, the oil there in the Psalm 133, it was to go on to all the body. You see, it right down under the skirts of his garments. That reminds me of the Comforter. The Holy Spirit that fills us with power. The Holy Spirit that enables us to do that which he has directed us to do is also the Christian's Comforter, which is also pictured by the oil. And he can come along to his people, and he can come along to you this morning, Christian, and comfort you in disappointment. Do you remember Paul? He said that at his first call, no man stood with him. Nobody. Apart from Jesus Christ, perhaps Paul was the best preacher that ever lived. Nobody would stand with him. But he thanked the Lord that the Lord stood with him. You see, the Lord comforted him in disappointment. He can comfort you in new ventures for the church. New ventures are great. They must be scriptural, of course, but we need to be pushing on and going forward. But you can become a bit nervous. And if you're like me, you'll get a bit anxious about the whole thing and a bit uptight and wonder. But you have to continually cast yourself upon the Lord. He can comfort us in disappointments, comfort us in new ventures, comfort us in a hostile world. Before you go out tomorrow morning, it's good to say, Lord, fill me with thy Holy Spirit. Help me to walk well today. Help me to stand out as one of the Lord's people today. If not by my words, just by how I walk and how I live. It's all part of being endued to stand. And as you're here, they were endued to stand, we do believe. Notice thirdly here, something else. Notice the protection of Asher. See what it says in verse 25. It says there, thy shoes shall be iron and brass. Now, you may say, well, what really is the meaning of that? The picture here, of course, is of a rough road. Stones, thorns. All kinds of toughness. I'd like to read you what it says in one of the Psalms. It says there in the Psalm 91. Psalm 91. You'll see that the very beginning of this Psalm, it says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You see the word where it says there, shall abide. It literally means, I think I mentioned this to you before, it means pass the night. The night in the Bible is often referred to as time of danger. So he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall pass the night in the time of danger under the shadow of the Almighty. You can look up Song of Solomon chapter 2 yourself. You will see here the thought is of enduring, the thought is of resting, the thought is of consistency that God gives. But I want you to look on down the Psalm. Do you see what it says in verse 13? Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample underfoot. Now, humanly speaking, that's a very strange thing. Both of those creatures that are mentioned are extremely dangerous. But really what the Lord is saying here, if you are filled with the Spirit, and if there is that holding together, that unity among the people, and they're going forward together, then when it comes to obstacles, and everyone will understand that a lion or an adder is an obvious obstacle on the road, a very big danger indeed, that there will be that trampling of them underfoot. You know something, brothers and sisters, there's always going to be obstacles in God's work. And sometimes it's possible to look at them and think, well, there's an obstacle there. It's just too much. We'll not go that way. We were thinking about the mission in Ballinderry. We didn't sit down and think, well, who all is going to like us? And who all is going to want us? Who all is going to come? I wonder will anybody listen to us? Maybe nobody down there like us at all. We don't look at it that way. We know there'll be obstacles. I and many of the other brethren, if it were possible, we would have gone around the houses and literally carried the people into the mission. Couldn't do that. They were invited. The Bible speaks about going into the highways and compelling them to come in. That's what happened when they received the invitation with the scripture text on the back of it. That was their compelling to come in. They didn't come. Some did, and we're very, very thankful for that. But what I'm saying is this. Even though Asher would have its difficulties, it was going to go on. It was going to go on, and I want you to get hold of that. In all of the work here, whether it's in the Sunday school, in the children's meeting, and it doesn't matter what part of the work it is, there will be obstacles, but the church can go on. Because God's eye is ever upon you. A tremendous verse I was looking at. Would you turn with me, please, in the Song of Solomon to chapter 2. Song of Solomon chapter 2. I looked at verse 14 one morning with you in the communion service, but if you look at verse 15, it says, "Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines. For our vines have tender grapes." And of course we see there in the foxes, I think I maybe did preach on that one time, that which will cause havoc. It might look nice. Foxes, beautiful creature. They can do some damage. The picture here is one of sin. And the vine, of course, referring to that which is precious. But look what it says in verse 17. Until the day break and the shadows flee away, turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bether. The thought here simply is of the Lord's refreshing presence. Many a time the Christian has that cause to flee to the Lord and ask the Lord to come and just to refresh him. Or to refresh her in her own soul. But you will see there, if you look at this passage very carefully, that the Lord's eye is ever on his people. Verse 16, "My beloved is mine and I am his." That can never change. The shadows over gospel endeavor generally in these days. Great hardness. Very few deny that. Good to remember that even though there's obstacles, we have the protection of the Lord. Notice something else here about Asher. Asher could hold on to promises of the Lord. Look at verse 25 again. See what it says there? It says, "And as thy days, so shall thy strength be." So shall thy strength be. I'm not going to labor this point, but where it says there, "so shall thy strength be," the word strength literally means flowing wealth. Flowing wealth. Of course, it's not referring to gold or silver, but it's referring to enablement from the Lord. And that is the promise of strength for daily need. We look at God's work in general, and maybe you're involved in some part of it, and you've had reason to turn around and say to yourself, "Who's able for these things?" None of us are. But our sufficiency is of God. And his strength is made perfect in weakness. And it's good, brothers and sisters, to make the promises of God's word your own. Promises for today, promises for next week, promises even for next year. And his promises of strength. We can claim promises regarding, well, praying strength. If you prayed for the gospel campaign, you were more important than me. If I didn't pray, and I preached. And I did pray, by the way. We can't overemphasize the importance of hanging on to God. And we need praying strength. More than that, we need staying strength. Because the world is always calling. And it's good to hang on to God's word where he's promised he will never leave us nor forsake us. And with the two or three are meant together in his name, there he is in the midst. That will make the difference to every one among those two or three that are there. We need praying strength. We need staying strength. We need obeying strength. It's more blessed to obey than to sacrifice. God leads His people. And when God is leading His people and we're following after Him, then the work, it goes in a sense, now it's never perfect, but it goes like clockwork. You haven't got 10 people looking to preach and nobody wants to do their testimony, give their testimony. You haven't got 10 people wanting to testify and nobody wants to shake hands at the door. Nobody wants to teach Sunday school. Everybody wants to teach the Bible class. That's not working well. But whenever there's that hanging on to the promises of God, the Lord will give us praying strength, staying strength, and obeying strength. You know, Asher would need all of it. All of those promises to hold on to them. As thy days are, so shall thy strength be. Maybe you've just about got a Sunday school lesson ready, and I'm just using this as an illustration, and you think, well, I've got it taught for today, but I don't know how I'm ever going to manage to get a fresh one ready for next week. You're in good company with preachers. Sometimes it can be relatively straightforward to get a message, but when you're looking for something, it sometimes can be really, really difficult. It'll take a really long time. You think, well, how am I ever going to get another one? As thy days, so shall thy strength be. In other words, you get the help when you need the help. Very, very good practice to read through God's word, ask Him to speak to your heart, and when you find promises, to make them your own, and to make them your own continually. Every day. If we're going to be endued to stand. Notice here, and I'm moving on quickly, notice the responsibility of Asher. I'd like you to turn to Genesis 49 for that. The responsibility of Asher, 49 and verse 20. Just going to read it here. I trust I've given you a wee minute just to find it. Genesis 49 verse 20. Out of Asher his bread shall be fat, and he shall yield royal dainties. You see, this tribe would provide for the king. And of course, prophetically, in the time of David, it was Asher sent food when others didn't. See, God's word was being carried out. You see, God had them there to serve the king. And all I want to say in this point is to you, God has you there to do whatever you're doing. Sometimes people long for, oh, just something different to do. That would make all of the difference. What if God wants you there? I read one time of a person who was wanting to do something different. And someone said to them, even though you may feel that you're, I use the word fed up, that's not what they said, I can't remember what it was. The person said to them, but think of it this way. What if some people need you there? What if God needs you there? And what if for your own greater good you need to be there? Why not just stay there and look to the Lord for help where you are? The responsibility here was of bringing that which was edible to the king. It was a tremendous having responsibility, and God's work brings burdens, brings responsibilities. I mention it again, and I've no hesitation in doing so. Pray for the work of God. Pray for preaching. Pray for gospel outreach and endeavor, that doors may open up for other missions and other various avenues of evangelism. You see, if we're going to stand for the Lord, yes, there needs to be that unity. There needs to be that anointing of the Holy Spirit. We need to be looking to the Lord for His protection. We need to be hanging on to the promises of God. But we can't discard our responsibilities. We have got to be doers of the word. And moving on quickly here, notice the constant supply of Asher. Do you see what it says there in verse 20, Genesis 49? Out of Asher his bread shall be fat. In other words, when they moved, in years to come, this would be a tremendously fruitful part of the land that they would go to. The Lord directed them to a very fruitful land. You remember when they crossed the Jordan and the land was divided there, that they were given. They were given, in a sense, a fruitful field. It was near the Mediterranean. That's where Asher was to go. And some people say that it was the best land to be found for many miles, for Asher was to go. Wherever you are, the Lord can make it a fruitful field. And do not weigh success by what you see with your eyes, but your success is, and mine is, in being faithful. Spiritual lesson here. If you look at Ephesians chapter and you take time yourself, chapter 1, and see the blessings that you have in Christ. The blessings that you personally have in Christ. Is that not God giving you blessing in the field that you're in? Is he not in that way making your field a fruitful field? Is he not making you blessed in what you are doing? You see, the place where we are can be a tremendous blessing to us individually and to others as well. And Asher was a tribe that strove for all of these things, and we have to do likewise, brethren. And I trust that the Lord will have us to continue to follow on after him. And that we will be those who, knowing the Lord's help, will indeed be endued to stand. You see, if you think of the Old Testament and the area that became a fruitful field for Asher, it wasn't always like that. Do you remember in the Old Testament there were 3.5 years there wasn't even dew? Barrenness. The ground was parched. Picture of sin. Do you remember Carmel? That bordered Jezebel's ground. And the land that she lived in, she promoted Baal worship. Do you remember Elijah called the people to Carmel? Oh, the hill was dry as powder. Remember the fire fell? Do you remember when he called the fire of God down and the people repented? And you can read on through where he prayed and the land gave its rain and so on. And whenever you think there of the offering, when he said to put more water in the basin and around the altar, put more water around it, put more water around it. And then he called down the fire from heaven. He called upon the Lord to answer and the fire fell and the people repented. Folks, that's a picture of Calvary. Are you saved today? See, the Old Testament, the offerings, they pointed to Christ. The wrath of God fell upon him for you. Said that quite a lot during this past 2 weeks. But if you're not converted today, this is the message for you. It's so easy to sing in a flippant way. He took my sins and my sorrows. He made them his very own. Did you ever think of the implication of that? He took my sins and my sorrows. He made them his very own. Our sins were punished in him. The great offering for sin. And that being the case, God's righteous indignation and wrath was appeased. That means today you can come to Jesus Christ. You can trust him. You can be truly saved, resting upon what he has done. This is my prayer and that of every Christian here, that if you do not know the Lord, that even today you will turn to him. I do trust that the Lord will help you to do that, and as God's people, that he will enable us to be in, and to stand, that we will indeed be endued to stand in these days. We thank you for listening. Our time is gone. We're just going to close now. A wee word of prayer together. Father in heaven, we do thank you for all you've provided for us. Thank you, Lord, for the great work that the church is involved in here. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have, all the prayers that you've answered for us already. And Lord, we're looking to thee for greater things. Thank you, Lord, that you do own the cattle upon 1,000 hills. And Lord, when you look upon Achalee, Lord, it seems hard and indifferent and never going to move as far as we are concerned. But Lord, what is it to thee to save by many or by few? And Lord, we just commit the work to thee. We commit ourselves to thee. We pray that you bless every believer here. And Lord, may those who don't know the Lord, may they flee to Christ today and have their sins forgiven. Take us now as we leave to our homes in safety. Separate us in thy fear. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.